I have the pleasure of speaking with Kelly Hoggard. She is the author of Champ for Kids, and she hosts the hashtag Champ for Kids chat, which is every Tuesday night. I have been following her on Twitter, and she is a rock star. She has so much passion for what she does, and I absolutely loved our conversation. I am recording this after we talked, so I'm able to reflect on what we discussed. We talked a lot about building relationships and getting to know our students and their strengths. We also talked about feedback and how that helps us grow as educators. I loved having that conversation because everything she mentioned was so spot on, and it really depicted how passionate she is. I hope you enjoy, and thank you for joining me on this journey. I have never podcasted before, and I started this summer, but I'm absolutely loving being able to spread my voice. And that is something that I love, and that is something that I really enjoy, because I'm able to spread my message, and I'm able to talk to amazing educators who make a difference. To start off with, please tell me a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name is Kelly Hoggard. I am an instructional technology specialist. This is my first year in that role in Virginia Beach. I have been teaching for 16 years. I started off in preschool special ed setting, which was sort of an inclusion type setting, and then have gone from there through all different types of working with all different types of students at kindergarten level, first grade. I moved into a gifted resource role and then current role. So I'm also a wife and a mom. I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old at home.
That's awesome. So in education, we all have good and bad days. Please reflect on some good days you have had in education.
I think that the really good days come out of whatever you learned from the bad days. So you have this, you know, huge failure. A lot of times something that you've invested a lot of time or effort into, and then it just doesn't go as planned. And then you have the reflection time, and then you make the changes, and you see all of the learning, both yours and your students, kind of come together. And so I've had that happen plenty of times. You know, for every stellar lesson, I've had at least two that I was like, wow, that really didn't go the way I had hoped, or that didn't connect to, you know, you'll design a whole lesson around connecting to maybe one or two kids, because you're like, I'm really going to hook them in. And you're like, well, that didn't do what it was supposed to, you know? And so I think all of your good days come out of whatever kinds of reflection and tweaks that you made off of your bad days.
Yeah, and I like that perspective, because I think that's super important. I know that there's times where things don't go well, and then you have to reflect. And as a new teacher, I know for me, it's something that I really try to do, because there's days, like you said, that go really well, and then there's days where I'm doing stations and my students are getting it, but then they forget the expectations, or they just have an off day and they're not doing what I'm asking. So it's kind of, you have to reflect and you have to say, okay, what did I do differently, or what isn't working really well for these kids, and what can I change? Because sometimes that even changes from class to class, especially exactly. When I teach middle school. So likewise, what are some things you've experienced that were difficult at the time, but looking back now, you learned a lot from them?
Related to education, I've had some very difficult students, whether it be that they bring to the table difficult home lives, maybe they have some sort of issue going on that is out of their control. That we're trying to figure out how can we meet their learning needs with all of these other things happening. I try to like embrace the really hard stuff, honestly. Somebody was laughing at me at work the other day because I was like, my new job is so challenging. I have 1,000 new questions for myself and for my colleagues. And I just love that. Like, I feel like if I don't keep myself like challenged, then I kind of, you know, like some of our kids feel like, well, how much effort do I have to put into that? But when I feel like, oh, I don't really know all of the answers, I really, I guess, rise to the occasion myself. So any kind of challenging situation that I've been put in, to go back to your question, I find that I come out that much better than if it had been something that was assigned to me that whomever assigned it already knew that I was going to be successful. Or maybe they do when they give it to me and it still feels challenging. But I love hard work, difficult kids. People used to say, like, I'm gonna need you to come and get this guy or this little girl for a few minutes. I need a break. And I'm like, bring it on, my principals would give me some challenging kids, but I felt like that's kind of, I was put here. That was my calling for some of those difficult kids, and really to find out like what will get to them, what makes them want to be at school, what makes them tick, what makes them shut down, because I need to avoid those things. And so, any challenges, I love it.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And it goes with like embracing that growth mindset. Like sometimes there's things that come naturally to us, and then there's things that are really difficult that we have to kind of figure out. And I'm like you, like I like to learn things and I like to try something new, although I don't know how it's gonna go. But
Right.
there's always that reflection piece. Like when even when you're getting observed, like I know that's something that I always worry about it not going well. But then when I look back, you kind of see that after the fact, like even if it didn't go that well, I can learn something from it. I can
Right.
get feedback that'll help me grow and be better, because that's important. Because rather than someone saying, "Oh, your lesson is great," and not really giving you constructive
Right.
feedback, I do want that feedback. It's hard to get sometimes, but I think once you read it and then you really think about it, you're like, "Okay, yeah, that was something that I needed to work on," and
Right.
then it kind of puts it in a different perspective. So I like that you mentioned that.
I think really, for a lot of people, understanding that it's more about you as a professional and not you personally, is then you can say, okay, this is something that's going to help me grow professionally. So I want to take it from a professional standpoint. I want to fine-tune my practice with this feedback, and I want to try to apply it and then ask for more feedback. I heard what you said. I thought about how it applied to my classroom or my profession. I'm trying this. Will you give me more feedback? And I think if you get into one of those feedback cycles with mentors or, grade chairs or department chairs or administration, you'll find that you'll grow tremendously, and they'll come to respect the work that you're doing. When you have a big fail, they'll say, you know what? It's okay. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep on moving, because they will see that you're taking that criticism, and you're trying to perfect your craft, because every day is a new day as a teacher.
Yeah, and I think it also like goes to show that, especially if I'm a new teacher, I feel like a lot of teachers are stressed about evaluations and making sure that they are doing well. But it's also something that sometimes you have off days or your kids have off days, and you can't really
Absolutely.
determine that. So I know that whenever I'm having one of those moments and I'm kind of reflecting and knowing that maybe it didn't go so great, then that's the time for me to step back and say, okay, I tried something new and it didn't work, and but you want to get feedback, because again, that's I know it's hard sometimes getting negative feedback, but I'm not even thinking of it as feedback at that moment, because I'm thinking of it, how can I get better? Because there's always something to improve in. And you
Yeah.
don't want to remain stagnant either, because I know that's something that a lot of teachers do. They feel like they got to figure it out and they get into that rhythm, but sometimes you need someone to tell you, hey, why are you doing it this way?
Right.
Because sometimes you could change that, and maybe that's the way it's been done, but that doesn't mean that there's something that we can't grow in.
Absolutely. And I think just understanding that it's all about fine-tuning your craft and growing. Even if it's been working really well for a previous set of students for all of these years, this may not be the same class that, it works well for. And understanding also, sometimes people will kind of, the old adage, like, throw out the baby with the bathwater. Sometimes they'll take something and, they'll try it one time and that didn't work. On to the next thing, on to the next thing. And they don't really give their kids a chance to, reflect on together. Why didn't that work? Is that something that I needed to change? Is it something that you didn't understand? Is it something we didn't set expectations for? Let's try it again. And getting student feedback on activities and lessons and saying, okay, what were your thoughts on this? This is what I specifically changed based on what you told me. Did it go better? Is it something that we still need some tweaks with? And getting that ownership and that classroom community of, like, I know yesterday wasn't our best day. I want to see if the lesson works better on a day we don't have a fire drill right in the middle of our classroom. You know what I mean? And so sometimes we can't also be quick to just say, oh, that didn't work. But looking at the lesson and kind of breaking it apart and saying, all right, was there some specific thing that I could probably tweak? Or can I get feedback from my students? I often like ask students, you know, what would have gone better? What would you have preferred to see? You know, and really listening to that and then calling attention to that when you bring it back to the table. You say, all right, I planned this lesson or I created this based on our conversation. That's investment right there for the kids.
Yeah, and I know that that's something that is so important because I think we get into the habit of, you know, you're like, I asked my students for feedback a few weeks ago because I was doing stations and I'm still trying to figure it out because I'm new and there's a way that they want, our school wants us to do it, and I'm trying to get that figured out. So I'm always changing things with it or like adjusting a little bit to make it go more smoothly. So I'm constantly asking my students, like, how is this going? Does this format work better? Do you guys, you know, are you under, and they're honest with me, but I think we came to a conclusion that if I'm going over expectations with them, they're able to offer feedback and we work together to figure it out. Because otherwise, if I put it all on my shoulder, then they're not really buying into it and then they don't feel like they're taking ownership. So I want to make sure my students know what I have set in place, but then we can always adjust. And there's days where stations are chaotic and I pull them to the side. I'm like, this is not going well, but I needed to reflect on what I needed to change or what we could do better. And they Then I tried it again the next day and it went a lot more smoother because I had to pull them to the side and have a conversation, but they understood where I was coming from. So I
Right.
do think that's so important.
Right. And it makes the classroom our classroom and not my classroom.
Yes. So what is one piece of advice that you would like to give any new teachers?
So I really feel like taking the time up front to do activities and have conversations to establish routines, procedures, and community, is critical. You will spend your entire year trying to make up, you know, it for lessons that are lost in transitions or expectations that were never stated that you're constantly restating over and over again. And I think at the beginning of the year, and sometimes even at the beginning of each new unit, you know, some of your protocols may change or some of your routines may change. Establishing that vibe of one, it's our classroom. So we're all in here to learn, we're all in here to grow, we all have different strengths. You know, calling upon different kids' strengths, and recognizing those, helping other kids see that you can't learn as much without that person in your class as you can with that person. You know what I mean? And so, just really, I mean, I'm working with some new teachers in our building as a mentor in our building, and just really saying, okay, pause, let's talk to the kids about what we want to see, calling out the kids who are doing it correctly, explaining why that's going to help us all get better, you know, and just slowing down. I feel like we hit the ground sometimes at the beginning of the year, like, oh my gosh, I have so much to cover. How will I ever get it, you know, all in by the end of May or the beginning of June? And we feel like on paper, it just is so many items and it's so little time. But really, you buy yourself a ton of time if your kids are invested in the classroom community. They will want to be there. They will want to work for you, even when things don't go as planned. They will be far more forgiving of you and of each other if there is a classroom community feel. And I think that really just, it has to be purposeful. You can't just expect that they're going to develop a family. You can call it a family, but there's a difference in what you may call a family and what actually feels like a family. So I think, if you spend the time, and that doesn't mean that there's not any academics at the beginning, but your academics are tied with purposeful, you know, interactions, Kagan structures, team building activities, things like that. Kids should be producing and creating right from the get-go. Because for a lot of our kids, if we wait a long time for those types of activities, they're not invested. If they know from the beginning, like, these are some of the amazing products you're going to get the opportunity to build this year, they want to keep coming back. And I think a lot of times we fall into that. Well, I showed them 2 days and now I've got to hit the ground running with my, you know, pacing. And it's like, okay, well, we can embed a lot of activities into your pacing if we get creative and we really slow down a little bit and look at what we have and the strengths that we have in our classroom. What can we do to help them work together build the classroom community, become invested in the classroom community, and become excited about being in the classroom. You know, those types of things really will build you a ton of time later on. And I'm helping one of my teachers who's brand new right now, really looking at what does that look like in a kindergarten classroom versus what does it look like in a third grade or a fifth grade or a seventh grade? You know, it's different for everybody, but it's worthy at every level.
Yeah, and I think relationship building is something that, again, is super important because we have students that come from to come to us from all walks of life. And it's, especially for me, teaching in a very diverse school, it is different. And there's kids who come and they say hi to me every morning and say good morning. And then there's some who don't. And it's like, I'm trying to get them to just say hi or just even acknowledge me in some way or smile or nod. And they've been growing a lot because at the beginning they were kind of still feeling me out and not knowing what they were walking into. But now that my classroom has become, I think it's a positive atmosphere. I try to build that in my classroom and really focus on that it's okay to make mistakes and that growth mindset. And I feel like after a while, my students are picking up on that. So if they make a mistake, they know that it's not the end, that we're going to work on it and I'm not going to give up on them. And that seems to be really working well.
Absolutely.
But they also know that we're going to have challenges. We're going to make mistakes. And I tell them I make mistakes too. Like, I'm human. But we have to be able to reflect and grow and get, I don't want them to just fail and not look at their mistakes and not correct it because that doesn't help them moving along. So it's a journey. And I always tell my students that we're in it together, and they seem, for my middle school kids, they want you to have their back.
Right.
They want you to care. So even though they're older and you might not feel like relationship building is the most crucial thing, I feel like those kids need it the most, especially some students I have, it's just, they need it. And it's no matter what age, I feel like they need someone that's there for them and cares about them.
Everybody needs their person. And we talk about it a lot in our office because I am really blessed to share an office with some of the other specialists in our building. And so we often talk about how not only do the students need to have a person who may or may not be their classroom teacher, but the teachers need to have a person. You need to have a person where you can feel comfortable going and saying, this lesson bombed. Can you help me brainstorm some ideas? Can you come? You should have somebody in your building that you feel comfortable asking to come and observe you in a non-evaluative type of way. Like, can you come watch me teach this lesson and give me some feedback? You know, you need to, as a teacher, find those teacher connections. And then we need to ensure that we're not only building relationships from teacher to student, but also allowing opportunity for the students in your classroom to build relationships. Because while they could, I mean, in some small towns, you know, there may be one or two classes and those kids kind of have grown up together, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're not really focusing in on, this is the benefit that comes from being in the class with this student, this is the strength that they bring to the class, this is the counterpoint that you may not even know about that they do understand. And I think really calling on building student-to-student relationships in addition to the insanely important value in teacher-to-student relationships really helps build the family. Because I've seen a lot of teachers who are stellar at building teacher-to-student relationships, but in their classroom, it can be very sterile. The kids are not necessarily a family versus that family vibe where the kids are saying, I really need, you know, I really want to do an artistic type of project. And I know so-and-so has these creative ideas and always can come up with anything for any medium. And I really want them in my group. You know, they understand each other and respect and value what each person brings to the table.
Yeah, and that's something that's important because a lot of times our students, I remember doing like a positivity piece. It was tied to social emotional learning in my middle school, and I just had them sit in a circle, and we just passed the paper around, and they all wrote something nice about each other. And I did that last year with my fourth graders, and it's so nice to hear nice things about everybody because we oftentimes forget to tell someone. So the kids really, they got a lot out of it because they got to hear compliments from all the students, and then I gave the kid a compliment, and and then we wrote it down on a piece of paper, and it's just something that they can keep. But it meant a lot to the kids because sometimes you don't hear it from your friends and or other people who are a little bit more shy. And it's nice to know that everybody matters and everybody's unique and that we need to have that perspective because it'd be boring if everybody was the same in a classroom. You want those different strengths.
Absolutely.
And those different challenges. So, of course, like there's students who need more love than they need us to care, but they also have a lot to offer. So it's just we kind of have to play to our strengths and play to their strengths and really help them see each other for who they are.
Absolutely.
So how can people get in contact with you?
So I am on Twitter. It's at Champ for Kids. I run a Twitter chat also on Tuesday nights, which is at 8 o'clock, 8 to 8:30. So it's a 30-minute chat, sort of power-packed punch. All different types of topics. We have a ton of different people in a variety of roles. We have everything from, assistant superintendents, classroom teachers at every level, every subject, library media specialists, instructional technology. I mean, the Champ for Kids family is really diverse, and I really am so grateful for that family. And so I do connect to a lot of people professionally on Twitter through the hashtag Champ for Kids. And that's kind of just been a huge growing point for me, and really recognizing that when you go out of your comfort zone, or when you connect to people who are as passionate as you are about, for us, obviously it's education, you can only get better. People are like, that's so weird that you talk to all of these people on Twitter. And I'm like, it's not weird at all. It's amazing the amount of ideas and support. And, you know, it's just this whole other family. Like, I call it the Champ for Kids family because it is a family. You know, if somebody reaches out through, you know, private message on Twitter, can you help me with this? How about that? I had an idea for this, but I was wondering, you know, did you know anybody I could connect with? Yeah, here's some other teachers that I know are into that, or that I know teach that same grade level. And like, I try to be a liaison between connecting teachers or connecting topics. And it's just really helped me to see how important that connecting beyond just our buildings and even just our districts is, and how you really are only, you can only grow as much as you really put yourself out there to grow. And so that is the best way, through Champ for Kids.
Thank you. Yeah. And I agree with Twitter, because I use it all the time. And I feel like it's something that at first I wasn't super like active on, because I was trying to get familiar with it. And that was during college. And now I'm on a lot, because I do chats and I do podcasts and I do just a lot of various things. And I've had so many doors open, like with being able to be mentioned in books. And there's things that I wouldn't have thought that would have happened, but if I wasn't vulnerable in that sense and connected, they wouldn't have been a reality for me. So I know that even if you're like, and as a new teacher, from my standpoint, it's hard because sometimes you don't think you have a lot to offer, but I always prove, like, everybody proves me wrong in that sense, because I'm on a chat and they're like, no, we want a new teacher on this, or we want your perspective.
Absolutely.
And it's just so cool to be able to connect with veteran teachers and have those conversations that are not, like, that don't always happen in a school or at a district level. You want to be able to connect with other like-minded teachers who are passionate about what they do, and I can connect with admin, and it's just definitely a different perspective, and it opens the doors to a lot of amazing conversations.
Absolutely. Twitter really opened up the whole idea and concept behind what is now the Champ for Kids book. It really was a snowball effect from a conversation with another author on Twitter, and then joining Twitter chats, and then beginning to blog at the recommendation of a number of other people that I connected to on Twitter. And then the blog was read and recognized and by a publisher, and she said, you know, I'm starting this publishing company, and I feel like your messages align with our, you know, overarching message. And that's how Champ for Kids, the book, came about. And had I not, like you said, put myself out there and said, hey, I have a voice, I'm a passionate educator, and, you know, I've been sharing my passion at the local level for a really long time, but I can share my passion and grow from other people's passion at the national and international level. So you're right. You just, if you put yourself out there, you'll get back tenfold what you put out.
Yeah. And I know that your book is empowering for so many. So I'm really glad that you wrote it and that you continue to spread that message, because you're someone who has inspired me a lot.
Thank you.
Just interacting with you on Twitter, I know that I'm always
reading your tweets because they come up in my newsfeed, and I always get excited because you have so much passion and you're so enthusiastic. So I appreciate you taking the time to be on because that's such a big deal for me.
Thank you for having me.
And I really appreciate it.